And so it's seemingly that the oppressor's plan was oftentimes backfired. And so he began to attack and begin to use words that would hurt the heart of David. He would even throw the javelin at David. He would begin to destroy and try to bring David down. David had fallen fond and in love with Saul's daughter. Her name was Michal. And he wants to understand the dowry. He is a shepherd boy and doesn't have much to give. And so Saul says, "Well, go and bring me 100 foreskins of the Philistines." David goes and brings above and beyond what King Saul has asked for and delivers 200 foreskins of the Philistines, of the enemy. And yet David never can live up to the expectations of the oppressor of King Saul. This led him to a state. This led the one, before he even slain Goliath, when he come down the trail, they said, look how he behaves himself wisely. This was one that his appearance showed and magnified the wisdom of God. His very appearance showed that he had been with God. And now he finds himself spitting on his beard, clawing at a door like he's gone absolutely crazy. Samson finds himself in similar battles and in similar mental anguish as he's here in this place of Gaza. They have surrounded him. They have come in to where he's at. They have done it very subtly. They didn't come in making all sorts of racket that we're coming in to bind you. We're coming in to hold you in this place. We're coming in to kill you. We know that the enemy of our soul is a very subtle creature. We know that he didn't come in all sorts of pomp, and he did not come in all sorts of majesty when he spoke to Eve. But it was very subtle. Slithered in that form of subtlety and discreet and disguise, begins to deceive the woman and tricks her into falling and persuades her into partaking of the forbidden fruit, in which in turn she leads Adam, and Adam as well, and mankind falls into sin, by which we all are born sinners. And so this distressing is Samson here finds himself in this place. We know that our enemy is as that thief that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan does not desire to sift you as wheat just to tickle you. Satan's design is to hurt the very image in which you are made and created in. According to Colossians chapter number 1, the Bible tells us that there is an invisible God who is a spirit. And says in chapter 1 in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So here we have this understanding that the enemy desires to destroy the image by which you and I are made after. Jesus, God, and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in the garden, after they have created the world by speaking things into existence, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be a land and firmament, and there was, and let there be fishes and birds, and there was, and animals, and everything was spoken by the spoken word, the Rhema, the spoken word of God. Everything was made until it got down to man. And God formed man. God got involved. God's hands got in and began to form man. And the Scripture said, let us form man after, let us create man after our image. So there present is Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, created in the likeness of God, in the very image of God, who Jesus was. When God, that is an invisible God, that's everywhere all the time, all-powerful, all-knowing, when He wanted to put a face upon His supreme power, He put it on in the form of Jesus. Jesus is God. And the enemy wants to and desires to tear down, dirty up. In the Portuguese language, sujo, that image of Christ, who is the hope of glory. And so Samson, in this place, in this walled city, is in this dilemma, in this place where somehow he has been. It just seems strange to me, preacher, that Samson, in this 20 years of judging Israel, Samson in this place of wisdom, David in this place of wisdom, and in all, and both men in great power and in great victories, they both find themselves in the confines of the enemy. They both find themselves in the distresses, in the troubles that have been caused by their current circumstances. Imagine the mental anguish that they have gone through. Imagine the struggles on the mind that they have underwent and suffered. Paul the Apostle was another man that went and undergo very intense moments of mental suffering, mental sadness. And when it has crept its way very subtle-like into the mind, when the thought process has begun to ponder, and as the distresses of the current circumstance has begun to invade the property of the mind, it's not long that it also invades and occupies the space of the heart. And Samson and David, and often I believe the Apostle Paul himself, can find themselves in similar situations as Samson in Gaza, David in Gath, Paul in his times of sufferings and trials. So we say that is similar, and oftentimes we ourselves find our own life, our own families, our own friends, our own co-workers in the same situation. I understand that as a born-again child of God, that I thank God He is with us all the way. But on the way, it's not a bed of roses. It's not every day that we are beaming in the sunlight. Oftentimes the sun, although it still shines, is beyond the silver lining in the overcast, cloudy sky. Oftentimes, in my own personal walk with God, there are stresses, there are difficulties that invade my mind. That is where the battle is. The battlefield is in the mind. That's why Peter says to gird up the loins of your mind. And so maybe this morning we can find ourselves in this place of battle, in this place where our mind has been under attack, where our mind has underwent things, and because of that, there's been some things come about. Maybe we've encamped and gone down to Gaza, bedded up with whoredoms and things of the world, knowing that we are espoused to our heavenly groomsman, whose name is Jesus. How oftentimes we find ourselves in the act of adultery, going after other things, going after other pleasures, that does not feel the does not even begin to take place all the goodness, all the grace and mercy that God has shown us. So we find and we say, if we were to say it's over, we'll go to the house this morning, it would end on a very sad note. But I'm glad that there's more to the Word of God. I appreciate the Scripture where Samson here has laid till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. Samson has awoken from sleep. Samson has been rocked away and he has been derived and been slipped away and been called up, and how things have entered in and affected his heart. And now he finds himself committing something that he's no doubt doesn't want to do, doesn't wish to do this, but he's done it again. He's slipped away. He's been rocked to sleep. Now he is sleeping. The enemy has compassed about. The enemy is encroaching. The enemy is very near to where Samson is. The enemy is within just a moment's notice of attack to where Samson shall be killed. And the Bible says that Samson awoke at midnight. It is an amazing thing to ponder on the manifold grace of God and His working and His manifestation in the heart of His people, that He would even so choose to awaken us in the state that we're sinners. But as the saints of God march onward in our circumstances in life, what life brings and the difficulties, the scrutinies enter the mind, affect the heart, we often find ourselves in this same mode of sleeping.